Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Thing I Love Most show. It's good to be back. Excited about the upcoming monster amount of games that we have. But yeah, we are excited to be back. I am joined this week once again by my two favourite pundits. I've got Mr. Lee Curtin. Hi, Lee.
Hello, mate. How are you?
Yes, good, thank you. And I've got Kofi all up the end, Scouseland. You right, lads? Good stuff. Yeah, you're all right. You're all right. Okay, so obviously we have got our first game on Sunday. But there's lots more to talk about than just the Everton game. So what we're going to do is we're going to start by talking about the friendlies in general. We have had some mixed results. We obviously had the three victories and then we had the defeat against Watford. So just talking about the games in general, who for you, Lee, has stood out? Who have you been most impressed with? Who have you maybe been most surprised at? And obviously, we're going to come on and talk about the signings that we've had, the signings that we're hopefully going to have afterwards. But just talk about the actual players that have played and who you've been impressed with so far.
Yeah, there's been a real mixed bag, hasn't there, really? And towards the end, obviously, with a few of the boys going off onto international duty, some still away. So we haven't seen anything from Lo Celso. But
I think he's injured at the moment, isn't he, as well?
Yeah, which probably sums us up. Just continue from last year, as we were, boys. I think it's good to see Sonny's looking sharp. He's showing some good fitness levels. He's showing some good touches. He's getting on the score sheet. I think Dele is showing some good glimpses. I know he got criticised a little bit in the Watford game, but it is pre-season and it is about trying stuff. So I think all too often we can look too much into it, especially when you're rolling out kind of two teams each half, or the opposition are rolling out two teams each half on top of you. It's quite difficult. There's been a few performances from the young lads. It's good to see Tanganga back out there. The young lad at fullback, Chirkin, he's done particularly well. Had a bit of a difficult day, shall we say, against Watford. But
a howler, you can say howler.
Well, listen, he's. I think it's best not to forget his age, 17, just going on 18.
Definitely.
And it's a step up a little bit as well for him. So he's done quite well, and as has the 16-year-old White.
Harvey White,
who's performed quite well and got a lot of good reviews, actually. Unlucky to not get on a score sheet in a couple of the games. So it looks quite good for some of the youngsters. Not enough from Sessegnon, again, which is a little bit worrying. Mm. And not enough from Fernandez. I know he had the first game as a kind of...
and he got quite good reviews in that game, didn't he? And then didn't seem to continue in that position.
No, and he's been moved around the pitch a little bit, which I think is a bit more of a concern than I think it's a big concern. I think we look like we're struggling to find this lad's position, but we must have bought him. We must have bought him for a particular reason and for a particular area of the field, and now we're trying to mould him into something that he's not. It's a bit of a difficult one.
You would have
one,
thought that he would have said, he would have said to the managers that he's had, where he believes his best position is. And it just doesn't seem to be that they're playing it. I don't know what his best position is. He's a bit more attacking than being in that, obviously, now the Højbjerg role, or the Ondombele or the Sissoko or the wings, whoever plays next to him. So he's played him almost like a wing back in games. But then when he's brought him on last season, he was bringing him on the left hand side. And then that just definitely doesn't seem to be his position. So it's a weird one.
It is actually one of his best performances for us, even coming on as sub, was on the right-hand side as well. He came on as, I think, maybe a right wing-back that day or a bit further up. But he played predominantly off to the right and he looked very confident. He looked comfortable. And we haven't seen him there since. It's always been out on the left. And so it's a bit of a funny one, but hopefully we can, we're going to get on to players and squads shortly. But hopefully we can find a position that suits where we can benefit from him.
Definitely. So Kofi, when if we were to start the season now, Would you be absolutely gutted with the business that we've done, or are you pleased that we've managed to do some business early doors? But obviously, in comparison to other teams like Chelsea and even Everton, we just heard signing James Rodriguez, who we're going to face on Sunday. Are we a little bit behind? Or, I mean, we never do business early. Like, Ndombele last year was rare. So it is rare that we do any, but it just seems that we just do not have the funds once again. And we're just waiting to sell players. We're trying to get 20 million for Oyo. We're trying to maybe offload one or two others, it seems. But if we don't, we seem to be really struggling. And obviously, Chelsea are literally oh my God, they're just ruining my life right now. Every time I see them just get another player, I'm like, this is just ridiculous. Like, they already had a decent team. They already finished like in the top four, you know. They didn't need that much. And they've really added some quality. So would you suggest, talk about our signings. What do you say about the three that we signed? What out of 10 would you say they are ratings wise for you?
I feel, you know, to answer the first sort of point that you put across, it just feels very similar to every season, in that we're, you know, we seem to be a little bit behind the curve, and some players that almost, you know, rumoured that might want to come to us or have been interested end up somewhere else. So it doesn't feel great. And if the season started right now, I wouldn't feel brilliant about our transfer business. But given we have signed some players, Joe Hart, I think, you know, the guy comes with experience. He's obviously a good goalkeeper. We, as we know, are going to be playing a lot of games this season, hopefully, but certainly in the first few weeks. And you think where we've got a game and then 2 days later, we're halfway across Europe and then 3 days later, we're back in London. Actually, it's pretty good to have two sort of goalkeepers that you can rely on. Saying that, there were times when we could rely on Gazzaniga. He had, you know, some good period to play. I know, you know, obviously last season he had a few games where it wasn't great for him, but yeah, Joe Hart's a good goalkeeper.
Do you think he's going to challenge Lloris, or do you think he's going to challenge Gazza? Because they're talking about Gazza maybe going to Villa.
I think Gazza's the one who's going to feel really negative about the move, because I don't think he's been brought in to replace Lloris. He's the reserve goalkeeper. But I suppose either way, whether he was going for the number one spot or he's going for the reserve spot, Gazzaniga moves down the list. So I wouldn't be surprised if he's gone. I think it's unfortunate, but how many goalkeepers can we please?
You know, we've got two in the academy, haven't we, that can come up, and so they might indeed. Well do. And also, Joe Hart does take up one of the positions of the homegrown players, so therefore we could lose Gazzaniga, and then that would help us in terms of getting someone else in to fill that foreign player position.
Oh, absolutely. I think, you know, someone sort of mentioned a couple of weeks ago that if the academy keepers weren't good enough to be the third choice keeper, then they shouldn't be at the club. So you can understand that, you know, they've got to have something about them, and you know, they're third in line. So I would think it's wouldn't surprise me if Gazzaniga goes, but as you said, for a out of 10, Joe Hart, a 7 for me.
That's good. I mean, I don't know if you remember, because on some of the pods last year, but I was asking for Doherty. I think he's class, and I think he was really, really what we do need, because we do play with quite an attacking right side in our current formation. And he's incredibly creative. He's like, you know, been involved in the most goals, second to Trent Alexander-Arnold. So he's quality, and to get him for that price, I don't know how the hell he does. Like, that's an absolute bargain. If you've got Chilwell going for 50 and you get like Doherty for 12, obviously there's an age difference, but still, I think that's really, really good business. So I was pleased with him. So I think for me, he's a 9. I'm going to go 9.
I agree with you there. Doherty's a quality player. He played well all season last season.
Yeah, but he's not afraid to attack, is he? Because that seems to be the issue that we've had in both of our fullback roles since Rose, really, and Walker. Trippier didn't really take the man on. He much preferred to cross, and then we didn't have any confidence, so he didn't even do that. And then obviously Carl Walker-Peters, who we all love, he's gone. Bye, Carl. But he was a little bit more attack-minding. Aurier, hit and miss, as we know. And Davies isn't really that attacking either. So I think to have someone who's not afraid to, one, get in the back stick when people are crossing from the left, he can sneak a header or two. And then he also gets to the byline. He actually does what we've been asking for from our right back for a long time. So I think Kane will benefit massively. I think Ali and Son will benefit massively because there'll be more space created. And maybe even Bergwijn, if Bergwijn comes to the edge of the box and gets those kind of cross deflections, he could well benefit as well. So I think he's going to be really, really good. What about Højbjerg? Are you pleased with Højbjerg? Do you think he was needed, Lee?
Was he needed? Good question. It really depends on what he's been brought in for. Has he been brought in to play next to Sissoko and Winks, or Winks? Has he been brought in to replace Sissoko or Winks? It looks like at the moment they're all going to be there. I see him as a kind of replacement for Sissoko, really, and I've got no qualms with that. I think as it's gone on, I think Sissoko, you know, he had a horrible start with us, turned the corner, definitely a player for your squad. But actually, you know what, when you give him a steady 7 out of 10 every week, it's for work rate. It's for getting up and down a pitch. It's making good tackles. It's playing that 5-yard pass simple, because anything over 5 yards is a struggle. You know, he can't finish, you know. So actually, technically, he's not good enough. So Højbjerg looks like he's going to bring that technical side to the game and that positioning. But what we do miss, I guess, with that is we're substituting maybe pace and the ability to get back and cover. So most of Sissoko's work, bless him, is covering that other geezer out on the right-hand side. Now, we've looked to have addressed that. So, actually, it might work in Højbjerg's favour that he's not running to the right-hand side of the pitch in our own corner to make covering tackles. So, I think Højbjerg's a good addition. I think Doherty's a great addition, as you alluded to there. And I think Hart's just... I think he's steady. You know, it's areas of the pitch that you probably want the experience. So out of 10, I'd give Højbjerg signing, I'd give that an 8. And I'm a bit lower with the Hart one. I'm probably about a 6 on that. And the Doherty one, I'd go an 8 as well. I just feel like, I don't know about you guys, I feel just like, actually, if there was a big name that we signed or somebody, you know, that got you off your seat a little bit, these signings would look a whole lot better, but I feel very underwhelmed by them at the moment. It's through no fault of their own. I think it's just where we are. And I'm like, actually, yeah, no, that's great. Great. Cheers, Højbjerg. You look decent. Cheers, Doherty. You look decent. Cheers, Joe. You know, 70 England caps, whatever. Amazing. Great. But Jesus, we're still screaming out for something to just liven up the dressing room.
And I think that's just
kind of where we are.
I feel equally underwhelmed, and I think part of it is looking around other teams and the players that they are buying. You know, it's not that players aren't out there, or you know, they're unavailable, or they don't want to move to Premier League, and it just looks a bit, I don't know, like we're behind the curve.
Well, you've got to say that we are behind the curve if you think that we've still got Danny Rose there and he's not going to play for us again. It's very apparent. We still got Serge there, and you know, I give him a hard time on this show, have done for the last season. And you know what? Some people go, yeah, yeah, agree with you. And others go, oh, I think you're a little bit harsh. But actually, the proof is in the pudding. He needs replacing. And we paid 24 million for him. And now we're struggling to get, you know, we're going to get half of that back at this rate. Because actually, if you've got anything about you as a football manager, coach, scout, you're going to look at that geezer and go, absolute liability. You know, the fact that it's AC Milan who are going, we're kind of interested, actually blows my mind. It blows my mind. that it's AC Milan and not like AC Torino or Hackney Marshes. It blows my mind. It really, really does. But we're struggling to get rid of him. Then we've got Rose. You know, we've still got players there that we need to we need to move them on. One, to create the money to generate, you know, generate the funds. And two, you probably want to approach this season with a positive dressing room. And certain players there are probably not going to, you know, they're not going to help that. So we need to, we're behind the curveball for sure. You know, we kick off on Sunday and we need to, that dressing room needs somebody to get them excited or a little pick me up.
Do you think Foyt's going to be moved on?
He should go for me. I think it's too long now.
Yeah, I don't think he's shown enough to show that he's going to be of the quality that we require.
Mm. Yeah. Okay. Anyone else you think might leave the door?
We've got a few players all on the periphery of the squad, haven't we? I see Carter Vickers is back, yeah. And he's played a lot of the game. But see, with somebody like Carter Vickers, for me, you get rid of Foyth, make your money. Because he rarely plays, and you keep Carter Vickers around for another season. That's the way I would look at it. You know, give him that experience, let him play with some of these boys, make your money with Foyth. Foyth didn't play much last year, you know, for one reason or another. So we're not really.
I've never been impressed with Carter Vickers when I've seen him.
I've never been impressed with Foyth, so he costs us money. You know, I'm just out here trying to make money so we can go and buy something.
You are hustling. I get that. I appreciate that.
I'm just an arsehole on behalf of Levy. I'm just hustling out here.
And then we come on to the Ndombele conundrum. is he in Mourinho's plans? Is he going to be starting? Is he ready to be starting? Is he fit enough? Like, what does he need to basically become a member of this team? Because at the moment he's not, and for the amount of money we paid for him, it's almost like it's just an absolute waste of money if we're not really, really trying. So I can see why they don't want to sell him. I can totally see that, because I think that would just make themselves look stupid. And also, I don't know, you know, he does have potential, but it's just really, really hard to see him changing that much. And so I just don't know. And also, if we have just bought another centre midfielder, so you're then saying that you want him to play alongside Højbjerg, and then that means that you want Lo Celso to play higher up the pitch, which I don't think is his best position, because he doesn't do enough with the ball around the edge of the area. For me, he doesn't shoot enough, he doesn't cross enough. So I think his his best game was when he was next to Winks or next to Sissoko, Lo Celso. So I think that's where he should be playing. So it's going to be interesting if he plays him alongside Højbjerg, then he might not play Winks or Sissoko.
I saw something in the All for Nothing show, which I think doesn't bode well for Ndombele. And that was when Levy and Jose were discussing Eriksen. And Levy, you know, they were both sort of resigned to the fact that he was going. And they were having a conversation about what could we do to get him to stay? How can we change the situation? And Levy said, well, at least, you know, ask him once more, and then at least you can say you've done everything that you could have done. That wasn't an ask him and convince him. That was an ask him and you've ticked all your boxes and you're not going to be able to convince him. So to me, they make their minds up and they don't change them easily. And I think Jose, unfortunately, has made his mind up about Ndombele. It wasn't his player.
No, do you think it's just Jose? Because I think he had Poch's pants down as well, didn't he?
I'm not blaming Jose.
Pretend he's got knee injuries and he's not this and he's not that. He's had two managers up. He's had his pants pulled down. He's pulled both of his pants down. It's cost us 50-odd million, and we don't learn nothing. We still keep going back to this bloody pathetic league at the end of the Euro tunnel and keep picking up players, and somebody's having Levy up on the other side and he hasn't even worked it out.
I think the player is to blame, absolutely, because, you know, he hasn't always been fit. We know, you know, from reports that you read that it's something that has happened earlier on in his career. And somewhere along the line, his attitude isn't 100%. You know, we all know there are players that play for your club where technically they might not be, you know, the best in the world, but if they put the effort in, then you're happy with it. But so I'm not saying, you know, it's Jose's fault. My point more so is that I think Jose's made his mind up. You know, Noel's asked whether, you know, what can be done? Can it be turned around? I don't think it can, because I think the die's been cast.
Yeah. I mean, but he's an absolute player. He's an absolute player. And I think that's what I find most frustrating. When you look at him physically, he's got the, you know, he's got the strength. He, you know, he's got the technical ability. He can pass the ball. He can hold players off. He can pick, you know, he can hit a shot. He can ping a shot. The guy can play. But we can't have him just like, you know, meandering around the pitch and as and when he feels like it. So, I mean, it's bad business on our part, but. Listen, I'll spend the money on a bloody psychologist. If it can get him playing, I'd rather he sat down with a psychologist and we didn't waste the money. I would.
The thing is, you can see, like, as you say, you see his touch, you see the way he can pick a shot out. He can play. You know, he's a great player. And I think what will be really sad is to see him go to another club and start performing, you know, week in, week out somewhere else in Europe. It'll be horrible. And you're right. Maybe it's a psychologist. Maybe it's some sort of motivation that he needs. I don't know. But I just feel that there isn't the will to get him back on side.
I agree.
So who are we thinking we're still going to go for? Is Josh King an option? They was talking about the guy from Mex in terms of striker. Anyone that you think... Anyone, yeah, why is that such a frustrating league for us? It's crazy. I mean, you know,
it's an absolute two bob league.
Is it the speed? Is it just the technical ability, just the overall skill? Because Nkudu didn't actually set the world alight, and Clinton and Jean didn't either, but then he's gone back there and he's done all right. So it's like it's just a lower standard.
Yeah, it's not a level to compete with. You know, I think, where does Memphis Depay play? He's back over there, isn't he? He's over there somewhere. I've watched him, the two friendlies for Holland, and he's running around this pitch like he thinks he's like Messi or Ronaldo at the moment. And actually, on the international stage, he's still just very Joe average. But he's obviously doing bits over in that league because he can. So he kind of goes, there's a reason Messi, there's a reason Mbappe and Neymar are still over there. And Mbappe will go, but Neymar won't, because everywhere else is too physical for him. And he's just... there's something wrong with that league. We just don't need to be buying players from there. If we could go and have one more sign-in, I would, you know, again, slightly underwhelming, but it is where we are. And I would, you know, I would take Josh King. I'll take Josh King today.
Mm. Yeah, no, me too. And you know, we definitely need a striker. You know, we had Llorente before, and, you know... We've had crazy injuries last year. We just can't, especially with this flipping Europa League. It's just, we will die. Do you know what I mean? Kane will die. And then it's ridiculous, because then he'll be injured probably for the Euros and we'll get in trouble about that. And it's just like, it's just rubbish. You can't do that. You just can't do that.
We kick off on Sunday, and then we've got 8 games in 21 days. You know, by the time Halloween comes... It's going to be over. It will be Halloween. It'll be Halloween for every one of us.
That's the positivity that we need.
Oh, no, I'm just giving you the read. I'm just trying to be real.
Unbelievable.
They've missed us. We're back.
Jesus. So do we think we're trying for anyone else apart from a striker? Do you think we're trying for a left back? Obviously, Cherkin has played and Rose is still around and Davies is there and Tanganga can play there. So, you know, do we need a striker? There was talk of maybe another centre back. It was just what
I think.
What do you think Jose is looking for?
Well, you know, we've bought a right back, a goalkeeper, and a defensive midfielder. So that's Jose. We've got to focus on a striker. Absolutely got to. Like you say, number of games. You know, we can't go another season whereby we're relying on Kane. Kane gets injured because he's overworked. Then, you know, we're rearranging the team and waiting for Kane to come back. That can't be the story of our season again. We've got to have support and then also a replacement when you know we're playing in Bulgaria and we've got a game in the league or the League Cup a couple of days later. We can't survive on Kane alone.
But they know this as well, surely. This is what pisses me off about it. It's just like, it's happened for ages. And then I don't know who sent through the stat recently about when the amount of strikers that we've had each year. And there was a time, obviously, we had Berbatov and Keane and Defoe and, you know, like a good selection of quality strikers. And now we've got one. And I'm not classing Son as a striker. I'm not classing Moore as a striker. So it's just like, it's just a ridiculous state of affairs. And people say, oh, you know, he doesn't want to come and play. No one wants to come and play second fiddle to Kane. Well, look at Jesus at Man City. He plays more than Aguero. He came definitely as a second fiddle. And you do in this kind of like amount of games in a season that we play currently with the fact that we have the League Cup and the FA Cup and the Europa League, you're going to get games. You know, Josh King will come and he will play about, I reckon, 30 games this season. And that's a good amount at a good club. Yeah. So what is the problem with that? Exactly. And, you know, that's because it's a successful club. Like, if he was playing for Bournemouth before, he wouldn't have played any Europa League. So there's, like, maybe another 10, 15 games that he wouldn't have played anyway. So I just don't get that sort of... No one wants to play second fiddle. They want to play for one of the best clubs in the league. We still are one of the best clubs in the league, even though we're not as good as we maybe used to be. Kofi, you mentioned the Amazon docs. I've actually quite enjoyed them, which has been weird because I was shitting myself, to be fair. The reason being, I was very much associating them with the end of the Poch era, which was a horrible time. It was a horrible time because the way we were playing, even though obviously we got lucky in the Champions League, we had a terrible season and it was very, very sad what happened. Not only the way we didn't do well in the final, but just the way that things ended with Poch, it was very, very sad because he had a lot, you know, he was loved by a lot of Spurs fans and you know, we were not really sure what we wanted from it. But I think in the end, it was probably the right thing at the time. But who knows, because Jose's not set the world light either. But I've actually quite enjoyed it because it's just been, it's a nice insight to sort of the club, I think, and how it's run. And, you know, Levy sort of said his bit, still not a massive fan, but, you know, he's passionate about stuff and you can tell that he, you know, he cares and he's organized and he's trying to be positive in a shit situation with no money. But I thought it was going to be quite a bit of it was about Poch. But I think obviously the fact that was probably quite a depressing time. It wasn't like the most positive theme to be starting on. But from past that stage, I think it's been quite good. What have you guys thought of it? What have you thought about Kofi?
I've been really impressed by it. I think I probably had the same sort of reticence as yourself, thinking this is going to be a car crash and they're going to show us in such a bad light. And then, you know, you're going to feel as a Spurs fan, everyone's got ammunition to be popping at you. But actually, I think a number of players have come out of it really well. I think, you know, even though obviously he's gone to Benfica, I think Jan came out sort of really well. Toby as well and Sonny, you know, I'm sure Sonny couldn't fail to come out well in any kind of documentary. And even as you say, you know, Levy, I've had a bit of, you know, more respect for him and warm to him a little bit and, you know, appreciate, you know, what he's doing. So I think the show has, you know, as you say, it's shown an insight, it's given us an insight rather, and it's allowed us to see some of the behind the scenes. And as a fan, it's great. You want to know as much as you can about your club and looking at how the players react and what they do and how they train and some of those conversations that you never really sort of see or hear about. It's just been, yeah, it's been great.
Doesn't seem to be many two-way conversations though. I know the Rose Marino one, but like even Dele Alli and the Harry Kane and the Eric Dier, like this, I mean, I suppose Eric Dier did mention a little bit about why he struggled with injuries and sort of moving around positions and stuff in Portuguese. That was quite weird. But yeah, the other ones, they don't seem to be that in sort of back and forth. It was more just sort of Mourinho just sort of spouting his thing. I love the footage of them not, it wasn't a documentary, but of them not doing the Skywalk thing or whatever it's called, and Tanganga. And the Tanganga and winks a little bit, and Stevie Bergwijn, that was class. They do seem to have like a nice gel, I think, at the moment. Maybe not all of them, but it seems like they have quite a good good vibe. So that's nice to see. I think that's been another nice thing to see from the documentary, is that they were good band of brothers, as it were, and they seem to like enjoy each other's company and have quite a good laugh. So it's quite random to see Kane swearing as well like that, because obviously you're used to just him doing interviews.
When he's very like,
yeah, we're gonna fuck it, we're fucking doing it, we're fucking.
I've got to be honest, he wasn't very good at it, was he? Like Harry, come
he
on.
Wasn't. He wasn't the most terrifying.
He's not a natural swearer, is he?
No, no. Yeah, I was well surprised at him doing that, but yeah, it was good. It was good to see. All right, it's time to do a first preview of the season, and then we're going to talk about the season in general, which is always a very, very fun time. I can't remember what we predicted last season. I think we all predicted top four, though, I'm pretty sure. And look how that worked out.
I might have gone for fourth.
Did you? Yeah, well, okay, we'll come on to that in a bit. But firstly, Everton are coming to an empty lane, which is going to be fun. They've done all right in their transfer window. And yeah, I've just heard today that they've signed like James Rodriguez for like 22 million, which is ridiculous, I think, from what I remember. He was absolutely class. I know he had his injury problems and stuff like that, and he's gone on loan, but he's class from what I remember. So I'm actually quite looking forward to seeing him play. Not playing very well against us, though. So, firstly, what kind of game are we thinking it's going to be? Is Jose going to continue his men behind the ball tactics that he seemed to basically do last season when he moved in? Like, basically just letting them have the ball as much as possible and then trying to hit him on the break, even at home. That seems to be the vibe. And then what kind of team are we going to put up? Who do we think is going to play? So, Kofi, I'm going to go over to you first, because I know you are very up on your formations and your people that are going to play. So, talk me through your team or Jose's team. What are you going to think?
I really don't think much is going to change from last season, and apart from a couple of the players that have come in. So, definitely, I can see Doherty playing at right back in place of Serge. And as we said earlier on, I think it'll give us a bit of balance in that he can defend, absolutely, and he attacks with accuracy. You know, he gets to the byline, not just cutting inside, and we'll put some good crosses in. So I see him at right back, and I see Holberg playing as well. I think, as Lee was saying earlier, a defensive midfielder that can play a good ball, you know, more than a five-yard ball, play a decent ball to other people, and someone who, you know, as he said himself, he wants to get about the pitch. He wants to be able to allow other people to play, which is, you know, the hallmark of a good defensive midfield player. So I see those two playing. I suppose what I'd like to see is just one defensive midfield player, but I don't believe that Jose will play that kind of team. So I imagine that either Sissoko or Winks will start. I'd like, if it has to be one of the two, then I'd like to see Winks starting.
You don't think Lo Celso?
I don't. I'm saying if there were, well, for me, Lo Celso isn't a defensive midfield player. So
no, but I'm saying, do you not think they might play him there next to Højbjerg?
Yeah, it could work. It could work. You know, that would be Jose being progressive, you know, which is what we're all hoping for. So yeah, let's hope that something like that happens.
He comes quite deep anyway when he plays as a 10. So I think stick in there, because he does enough as a 10.
I think if he does play in that position, then it allows us to have a lot of pace in the team, because then you can have Moore and Son as well as Kane, rather than, you know, having to only fit a certain number of attacking players in. So, yeah, it'd be great.
So defensively, Toby and Dyer, do you think? I mean, he seems to love Dyer.
He loves Dyer. I'm sure they have, you know, secret Portuguese conversations in the changing room, to motivate each other. So Dyer will be playing, quite sure of it. Toby, for me, has to play. And then, you know, Davis, I think, you know, he's solid. You can rely on him. Good left back.
So then further up the pitch, Lee, who do we think? Obviously, Son will start. Kane will start. Do you think Ali's worked his way into the team? And who do you think is going to be alongside him? Do you think it'll be Lo Celso, or do you think it'll be Moura? Or do you think it'll be Stevie B?
I don't know if Lo Celso's fit. He hasn't really figured much. So I don't think we'll see Lo Celso. So I'm going to go with Kane, Sonny, Ali, and Moura as the four.
No, Bergwijn, he's in my fantasy league team.
I think he will find his way. I think with Bergwijn, he's probably almost going to challenge with Moura, I think, for game time, it looks like. I think it purely depends on the opposition. So what we're going up against, and given all our style of play, I think he starts with Moura and we let Everton have the ball. We try and hit him on the break and we'll do that. And then about the 70-minute mark, he'll pull Moura off because Moura tends to track back a bit more and, you know, put a tackle in. And then I think we try and nick it off him by bringing Bergwijn on with some fresh pace. And also he's got a finish in him. So I think actually Bergwijn may just end up, unluckily actually, in my opinion, he might end up just starting on the bench this week. And I think it'll be the four that we know in terms of Moura, Sonny, Ali and Kane.
And not Lamela. Lamela on the bench as well.
Lamela on the bench. And then when we're hanging in there for that, you know, for that 1-1 draw or trying to hit that 2-1 win,
we'll bring
him on and he'll take his standard yellow and he'll get me paid out on Sky Bet and everyone's the winner.
Brilliant. I love those predictions. So in terms of score, what are we thinking? We've got to be confident, haven't we? We can't start on a real negative. I'm going to have to ask you where you think we'll finish at the end of the season. And that's obviously going to be a happy conversation. So let's just start on the 3 points, first 3 points of the season. Is it going to be an easy banker up against James Rodriguez?
It's going to be 2-1 Tottenham, 3 points on the board in a very, very tight, intense game.
Okay. Are you in agreement there, Cove?
I'm feeling a 2-1, yeah. I think usually, you know, we have a tough game against Everton. I would have thought at home 3-1. But I think, you know, if Rodriguez plays, he could just change the way they play. So 2-1.
Okay, all right. Well, I'm probably going to have to go for the hat-tricks of Tourette's here, as it were. Normally when we do that, it's never 2-1. So then finally, let's just talk about the predictions for the season. So I want you to tell me your prediction for the bottom three and the top eight. Throwing that one on you.
What, in order?
Yeah.
Wow.
In order? Wow, okay. I think the top two. I think Liverpool hang in there this season. Yeah. Followed by City.
Mm-hmm.
Followed by United.
Interesting, not Chelsea, after they've spent quite a lot.
Followed by Chelsea. Followed by I don't want to lose any friends, the ones I've got left. Followed by maybe Everton.
Ooh.
Maybe Everton. Then I'm chucking us in there. Then I'm going there mugs right behind us again. and then Wolves.
So no Leicester.
No, I think Leicester slip out a little bit this year. Okay. I think they fall into that battle that we found ourselves entangled in. I think the Rodgers effect has worn off.
And what about relegation? West Brom are gone. Please say they're gone.
I'm going West Brom, and it will give me huge delight to watch West Ham go with them.
They're surely guaranteed.
And Fulham.
Fulham, yeah, they could. I think that might be mine. To be fair,
Fulham, West Ham, West Brom, and if West Brom were to stay up, it'd be at the expense of Newcastle.
Even with Wilson and Fraser.
Even with them boys.
Okay, that's interesting. I thought they looked all right towards the end of the day. I didn't think they looked too bad.
I just feel like there's something not right in their dressing room.
You think they're better than Villa? I don't think they're better than Villa.
No, I don't, but I don't think their dressing room's right. I think there's a real unrest there, and it always finds its way onto their pitch.
Okay, interesting. All right, Kof, I know you've been writing down your predictions now.
I have. I've been, unfortunately, had a little bit more time. I had four teams down as my relegation, so obviously I need to pick three. Interestingly,
you can pick three out of four. It's okay. You know, we're not being too strict on this.
Interestingly, West Ham, Fulham and West Brom were in that four. The other one was Brighton. I think they're going to struggle.
Even with Lallana's magic feet.
How long he'll last without an injury, we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, might be a good shout.
I'm thinking definitely West Brom.
Yeah.
I think Fulham will struggle. They'll have a few little highlights. I think they'll struggle. And I think it will be between Brighton and West Ham. I'd like to see West Ham go down, but I think it would probably be Brighton.
Okay. Interesting. And then your top eight, please, sir.
Top eight. Well, we're in there.
I love it.
Which is a good thing. I really see one and two being Liverpool and, unfortunately, Chelsea. I think they bought well. Unfortunately for us, I think Lampard is doing a good job there, and he's got a lot of good support around him. Werner, I'm sure, is going to be a sensation. So it pains me, but I think they're going to be the team to look out for. I think City, looking at third, because I think there are cracks. City are City. You know, De Bruyne, Sterling, Aguero, some fantastic players. But I think the Champions League has shown there's some cracks at the back. And I don't think Pep has really sorted that out. And people can get at City and score against them. You know, and there were some incredible defensive errors that they've been making recently. So, you know, that might sound quite damning, but that puts them third for me as opposed to first or second. You know, it's not so damning that they don't perform. And then I think I want to put us fourth. That's my heart, because I want us to be challenging. Mate. I want us to be in champions. That's my heart.
That is your heart. And they rip it out every season. Don't do it.
My head absolutely tells me that we don't make it into the Champions League, which is horrible, because we've got...
This might change if we sign a couple of players, though. You know, we've got to think about the current setup. At the moment, I would agree that we're not top four, but that may change if we sign someone. Again, it's unlikely, but, you know, we have to think that way. There's still quite a way to go in the transfer window.
Is Klinsmann still available?
He is a coach now. It's difficult for him to play.
Oh.
I know.
So,
what do you mean you weren't excited with Joe Hart? What's wrong with you?
So, Man United, you know, these are horrible things to have to say. But I think, you know, Man United are looking that they might get that fourth spot, as you say, at the moment, before the end of the transfer window. You know, there are players there that are enjoying their football, starting to score goals, and they're starting to look like an attacking team.
I think the keeper coming back, De Gea is going to go. I think he's going to be really important for them because he's class, Henderson.
Oh, you know, had a great season last season. And, you know, knocking on the door for an England place. Then, you know, we're looking at three teams that we're probably challenging with for the qualifying rounds of the Europa positions.
What a position to be in. Fucking hell. What happened?
Please let me, sir.
Please let me play Carabag.
So we've got Wolves,
Carabag,
Leicester, and that lot, and
not Everton, like Lee said.
I think Rodriguez is going to be a great player, but I don't think he turns them into a top 18. As we say, transfer window hasn't closed yet. But I think Everton aren't the fully fledged team yet. They need some more players to really push on. I don't think Everton get past Wolves, Leicester, and the Arse. So where do we fit in? That's, you know, it's horrible. I think Leicester will probably come top out of that group. I'd like to put us in next. So that's me saying sixth, with Wolves seventh and the Arse eighth.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much for those predictions. I like it. It's good. I'm just going to say that we're going to finish in the top six. I'm not going to say any specifics. But I would say, yeah, in terms of... It was weird, though, because I did this last season, actually, and I did predicted the whole league. I didn't even actually match it up as to who was right or not, but I had Sheffield United to go down, so I was like, well, that's obviously not going to happen, so didn't even check. Okay, all right, guys, really, really nice to speak to you and have you back. Hopefully we are going to get those 3 points on Saturday. It'll be a great start, and then we've got an endless fixture list, which we will dive into next week when we have our second pod. So enjoy your weeks, enjoy the game on Sunday. And we'll be speaking to you next week. And thank you very much for listening, guys. We are the Thing I Love Most show, available in all good bookshops and Facebook groups and YouTubes and Twitters and Instagrams. TTLM show. If you want to get involved in the show, drop us a tweet, drop us a message, and you can come on the show. You can speak to us. And you can be pundits like these guys. So nice to speak to you guys. Have a good week. And we'll see you guys next week.
Trying to stop us for the winning. The thing I love most is me.